Hey folks, Brad here with the Maritime Paintball Podcast, and I got a question for you. Is giving away gear to new and young players a good idea? Is it sustainable? Does it positively impact your local paintball community? Not talking the industry as a whole, I'm just talking local community. It's a question I wanted to discuss, so I invited on Ryan Bell, a gentleman who's new to the sport of paintball, and has already decided to give away an entire MagFed setup to a random player. So I wanted to discuss, is this sustainable? Is this a good idea? Are there better options to help the local renters and to help the local young new players? So without further stalling, let's get into this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 287 of the Maritime Paintball Podcast. I sure hope you can hear me because I think there might be something wrong with the audio on my end, but I'm not entirely sure. So we're going to run with it and we're going to see what happens. So if you can't hear me, let me know in the comments. Unfortunately, it's like, 15, 25 second delay. So it's going to be awkward me talking into nothing if nobody can hear me. So we will see. Christopher Strzok says it's good. And if the guy with only one good ear says it's good, we're great. So folks, I have with me Ryan Bell, who's been a fan of the show for, I don't know, a day or two. And, he actually reached out last week or the week before.
Last week.
I think. And you were like, if you need somebody, let me know. And I was just like, you know what? I need somebody this week. And, he was gracious enough to come on the show. So,
my pleasure, buddy. I actually couldn't wait.
I'm excited for this episode because how do I put this? I'm not looking to stir the pot too much, but I want to get a conversation going. I want to continue the small conversation that I had last week, and I want to have a little bit more in depth. And I figured it kind of worked well because you're kind of in the middle of it in a way. So you're what we're going to be talking about is charity, giving away gear, that kind of thing. Because for some reason, paintballers seem to be obsessed with it. For as long as I can remember, people have always, there's players that have always been about giving away gear or, you know, it's all about doing whatever it takes to help the new players out. So I want to get people's opinions on this. So quick recap. Last week, I had said something about, instead of giving away gear, to see more like help the fields, help pay for the players, pay for the young kids. Like if you want to give gear away to a young kid, because that seems to be the go-to. Everybody wants to help the kids, which don't get me wrong, love helping kids. I was just at a charity game for the IWK Children's Hospital yesterday, and that's kind of what kind of got me thinking about this. Doing this episode was like the paintball charities and all that jazz. So. So I'm not against helping kids out, but I want to get everyone's opinion. I want to get this conversation going about the concept of giving away gear, especially to kids, or to brand new players. Like they've played one game and suddenly they're completely decked out in gear. And if it's really something that we should be doing, or is it sustainable? Is it something that we could tweak? Can we work on? Can we get some new ideas, some new insights, and that kind of thing? So the reason I invited Ryan on was he donated a MagFed setup to, I forget who, to what? Tonka.
It's being done through the Tonka Tactical Group. I haven't yet found a new owner. Not necessarily trying to give it away to somebody who's never played paintball before, but for somebody who doesn't have a mag fed setup. So, you know, you need somewhere to carry your mags. And I thought, okay, we'll throw in a vest and you need a mag fed marker. And I have a ton of these. I'm never going to use them all. It's sitting in my safe, just collecting dust. And I know there's somebody out there that's cruising the internet, you know, just like I did, looking at all these markers, drooling at them, just like I did. And if I could make somebody's day and just say, you know what, it's all yours. Take it for a rip, you know, ride it like you stole it. Go for it. It's the least I can do. Like I said, it's just going to sit around and collect dust. I mean, it's not junk I'm giving away. But I mean, a full auto first strike marker is not easy to come by nowadays.
No.
And I don't want to spoil it and say exactly which one it is, but I think people will be pretty excited when they find out.
Yeah. And okay, so it's going through the Tonka Tactical.
Yep.
Who is going to now, how's Tonka giving it away? Do you know yet? Is it a
So with my conversation I had with Tonka, and I don't have the, and I'm sorry guys, I don't have the technical skills to run a lottery or program a computer. I mean, it took everything I had just to get on the internet here to see you guys.
Not gonna lie, I really did.
I was able to put it out there, and it was as basic as, if you know somebody who wants to get into MagFed, or you want to do your so yourself, put your name in the comment below, and I can write that down on a piece of paper, because I can use paper, and then I can message those names to Tonka, and he'll take away the rest.
Okay, there we go. So you're trying to get it to somebody, to experienced players, or somebody who at least is interested in getting into MagFed and maybe doesn't have the cash or that kind of thing to get into it. So
that's right.
Which is great. And Michael Alexis in the comments, he says it's better than selling it. It's appreciated more, which I understand. You know, I get that. And then G-Man there, Guillermo, great guy, runs Battle Buddy. Which, if you don't know what Battle Buddy is, it's a great organization, great group, that basically they are experienced players who will help new players. Not just necessarily young players, but new players. They donate gear and entry and paint to new players. And I guess that's kind of where I'm intrigued. And maybe I'm just like this like crusty old man now, and that's like, you know, maybe I'm slowly turning into a Republican in that sense. That's a lie. I'm not. But I'm always worried about, like, I've seen a lot of people come to paintball, especially at the fields I play at, and especially younger players, and they show up and they play once or twice, and then you never see them again because young kids don't have any money. It's all in their, it's their parents' money. So I'm just wondering, like, I want to know in the comments, I want to hear from everyone, is like ideas of how we can help the newer players, or the, what's the right word? Not disenfranchised, because that is total overkill for what I'm trying to say here. Maybe a player that you can tell that they're playing, they play a lot. Maybe they went out and bought some like absolute piece of garbage from a secondhand store, and you know they paid way too much for it, but they needed a marker and a mask, and they needed to get on the field, but they just can't afford to get that new gear, but they're trying some friggin' hard. You know, maybe they're like, how do we make sure that those are the players getting the gear? How do we make sure that the people we're giving this free gear to, or is giving free gear the right option? Like, that's what I want to know. That's what the discussion I want to have is giving away free gear the way we should be going about this, or should we be worried more about money or experience, or you know what I'm trying to say? So what do you think, Ryan?
I actually did get screwed. Sorry. I got screwed hard off of Kijiji. I think you guys have Kijiji out in the East Coast too, right?
Oh yeah. It's
and,
garbage.
I guy swore up and down this thing was great. It was a Milsig K series. I've never seen a paintball marker before besides the ones we used in the military, which looked a lot different. Yep. And I thought, okay, yeah, it's black and it's all there, and look, there's magazines. And I brought it home and everything was just screwed, and I thought, okay, we'll fix this. And then I gave up on it. I did end up fixing it, but then there was a surplus store out here in Whitby that I'm not going to name by name, but most people know it, had something in their boneyard section, and I ended up buying it. It was a Milsig M-Series Paradigm Pro.
Okay, there we go. Now you're getting into the actual usable Milsig markers.
Yeah, and it came with four D-Mags, a tank, a fully automatic trigger. It was all there. It came with three first strike mags and about five round ball mags. And a guy only wanted $300 for it, and I went, yep, I'm going to take that. And I had to fix it. So okay. I thought, okay. And then I went to bought the M17 and a bunch of other stuff. But as a new player to paintball, I got screwed two times before I had something I could actually use. So in my giveaway, I'm going to be giving somebody something that's certified to run, that they're going to be able to not get upset with. And if it's their first time playing paintball or MagFed and they get out and they say it's not for me, I just ask them to find somebody else and pass the whole thing along, because it costs them nothing to get it. And that's why I'm not asking a dime for it.
So you've just got this spare piece of kit that you really don't need, is what you're
saying.
That's
right. It's literally sitting around collecting dust right now.
Okay. So
sorry. I did lend it out to one person at Op Canadian Conflict, the last big event at PRZ. I brought it as a loaner, just in case somebody showed up without a MagFed.
Awesome. So, and that's something that I kind of want to discuss. So you've got this piece of kit that you really don't need. You managed to put it all together and it's getting given away. It's getting, hopefully will end up in the hands of somebody who needs it. And now that's kind of the key word there, is like need. 'Cause I know a lot of people, I mean, I'm not going to say hundreds, but I know a significant percentage of people, which is unfortunate, that they don't need the marker. They've got money, or they know how to play the system to buy used properly, but they still get involved with these giveaways, and then they score themselves a sick piece of kit, you know, like a Milsig M series. And yes, it's not top of the line, it's not brand new, but guess what? It's going to end up on Kijiji for $150, because I've seen it happen. Probably. I've seen people at events in a, you know, it's one of those things where, and I don't fault events for doing this. If you're holding a big game and they do a raffle, like entry gets you a ticket, like you don't pay into it or whatever. You know, you just, whatever. You know how I'm talking about. The events, they do this, they set it up, you pay entry and you get entered into it, into a draw. And I've seen guys literally like win a mask and then they're at the field snapping photos, uploading to Kijiji. Like that's, which is fine. That's up to them. That's fine.
You know, It would hurt me. It would hurt me a lot if somebody did that. But I gotta have faith. And
right. So
having only been a member of the paintball community for a couple of months and seen all the positivity out there, I'm gonna go with it. And if it explodes, and I'll probably never know. But
right. And that's the thing, is you may never know. I'm just thinking, in for the future, for anybody else who ends up with a piece of kit that they really don't need, would it be more beneficial, long-term beneficial? I mean, it's kind of a pain in the butt, but would it be more beneficial long-term to lug it around as a loaner whenever you go out? And that way, when somebody wants to try MagFed, or if they want a better marker, maybe they don't want to use a rental or whatever, you can deck somebody out right then and there and get the gear back. Somebody's got to enjoy it, and maybe they go, I really want this. And you'd be like, awesome, dude. There's the retailer. Go check them out. They're going to set you up with a piece of kit. So I guess it's a catch-22. There is no right answer to this, by the way. I'm not saying like there's no good, bad, right, or wrong.
Sorry. I lug around a pile of spare parts for the Milsigs, you know, KM, M17. And I give them away because I don't need any money for them. I got them at a deal and I know they work. And if you're at a field and you can't play because your marker is down, it would be so rude, I think, in my opinion, for me not to step forward and say, hey man, here's an O-ring or here's a
spare parts and stuff. You know, you know, here's a battery, here's nuts, bolts, grease, oil, O-rings. If I've got the right O-rings, tank O-rings, especially, most of my gear uses a particular type of O-ring. So I can't really. It's not that I wouldn't lend them out, it's that nobody needs it. But when you're talking tank O-rings, like, they're a dime a dozen easily. Like, here you go, here's an O-ring. Go nuts. Here's some batteries or whatever you need. You know, here's a squeegee, because I have, like, 7 or 8 of them. It's the full kit that I'm wondering is, like, what are people's thoughts on, would that be something that people would like to see lent out on a regular basis? Chad Bob in the comments, he says, my thought on this, he says, giving away gear as prizes at events and et cetera, and having prizes and giveaways in that sense is fantastic. I think for helping newer players, it is more beneficial to keep that set of gear and loan it out to new players over and over again. That way, you know, it's getting used versus, like Brad just said, using it a few times and it goes to gather dust in a corner later. And Christopher Strzok, it's damn it, Christopher, learn to spell, man. It's you get into it head over heels, or you just play the rental days. There isn't much in between that I've seen, and I'd hate to see people get gear and then just sit, which could happen. You know, you send somebody goes out and they love the sport and they're like, this is amazing, and then you go, awesome, man, here's a bunch of gear, and they go, great. I can't afford to play, so I'm just going to sit on this gear. I can't afford the entry in the paint. I can't afford, you know, whatever I need. Because there's more to it than just the gear. Once you have the gear, you still need the consumable. You still need the paintball. You still need the entry fee, the gas, the way to get there. You know, maybe it was just a one-off. So,
and I'm hoping, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. And I'm learning from this experience, hearing this conversation now. And I'm thinking I might actually, and I know once it hits the post office, I have no control over what happens.
I mean, technically, you could be like, hard stop.
I'll put it out there, and I'll say, hey, experienced guys, watch out for my marker when it lands somewhere. Give the guy a big high five and just remind him, if he's done with paintball, to pass it along.
Right. You know? Somebody's going to walk up to him. Somebody he's never met before is going to walk up to him and be like, that's a nice marker. You best be using it. You know what I mean?
Sorry, I'm extremely tired.
Guillermo, he says, like, I'm going to lend one of my pumps. Guillermo, I'm scared to touch your pumps, dude.
I've never fired a pump.
Well, Guillermo's got some like antiques, like some legit awesome, oh, nice. I'd be scared to touch them kind of markers. He's also scary good with them, which is even better to watch him play with them. Let's see some more comments. Tim Banks, being at the field every weekend to see the players who keep coming and they keep renting and then they go buy something from Walmart. Those are the players I try to help out. Yeah, absolutely. If there's somebody that you recognize, if you recognize a renter, that's not a renter anymore. That's a paintballer who just doesn't have their own gear yet. You know what I mean? Like, there's a big difference.
Sorry, if I could just poke another one in there too. The reason I'm giving away a full kit is part of the safety aspect. Somebody gave me a really, really cool looking paintball mask, and I thought I'd shoot at it a few times just to see if it was safe, because I didn't know how old it was.
I already know where this is going.
There was a great big hole in it after I hit it with a first strike, and I thought, you know, that could have been my face. So I'm giving away a brand new mask just for safety's sake, because I don't want to see anybody get hurt.
Now, masks are one thing that... A good mask costs a lot of money, but it can make or break somebody's day of paintball. And I understand, especially nowadays, and I think you're going to see going forward in like the post-COVID days, it's going to be real tough to go to somebody and be like, here, have this thing that I've breathed into for the past year. You know what I mean? Like,
sweat, goo.
Exactly. Like, my masks have been sweat into, puked into, like, it's... Oh, I mean, nice. I clean my masks and I replace the foam when I have to, but I'm saying, like, I don't think in good conscience I could ever give my mask away, because it's probably a fucking biohazard at this point. Like, you know what I mean? There's some crevice somewhere on that mask that got missed. I mean, realistically, though, I did rip the foam out, the lens out, and I threw the whole thing in like a sink of hot water. So I'm sure it's clean, but... A mask is one of those things that back in the day, I remember people just being like, here, try this mask, right? And you'd go play with somebody else's mask. I don't think we're going to see that anymore. Or it's going to be like, somebody's going to be like, here, try this mask. And it's just like Lysol. All right. Just like cover the whole damn thing. The lens starts to melt because of the amount of like, I don't know what's in Lysol.
And they put on the mask and then their eyes start burning.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. So, and then gonna be like, this mask is terrible. So masks are one of those things that, I don't know. There's going to have to be a solution figured out for that, because I don't know about... I don't think donating masks is going to be a big, big thing. Just because of that. But I understand that safety aspect of why you're giving away a mask with it, because the last thing you want is somebody...
And I'm telling you, it has never been hit once. I tried it on once about 3 months ago, and I personally don't like the fit, so it sat on a hook.
Well, there you go. And that's great. My i4 is so old, the ears are falling apart on it. Like, it's not... You know?
Hey, I run a $50 mask that I put a the double lens.
The thermal lens? Yeah.
Thermal lens. Yeah, sorry.
There you go, bud.
And I get along just fine with it.
Yeah.
You don't need expensive stuff to play paintball. I mean, it's nice and it helps, but you don't need it, I don't say, you know?
That you don't need, and Ted Landry's in the chat here too, and I'm hoping Ted will back me up on this. You don't need a high end mask until you've tried a high end mask, and then it's like, I could never go back. Like,
I gotta be careful because I know my wife is at home watching.
So Chad Bob in the comment there, he says you should engrave the marker saying it's a starter MagFed kit and to continue to pass it on. It's official. That's going to be the first marker in the brotherhood. No, what do we kind of call it? The sister. How do you call it? We need something inclusive, not brotherhood or sisterhood. We need something like the Society of the Traveling Paintball Marker or something.
Oh, the pants. The sisterhood of the traveling pants.
Right? Like, yeah. Right? Try it out. And then when you outgrow it, you have to donate it. That would be cool. I'd be down for that. I would be absolutely down to it. Ted Landry is saying, why not lend it to a field? And if someone wants to use it, they pay a field an extra, maybe $10 extra to use that marker or something like that. Sort of like an upgrade kit. And Zach can make you the plate, by the way, for the marker. Zach, if you're watching this, but if I'll pay for the plate to get it made. That'd be awesome. So...
I can answer that question. Because of last week's podcast you did, maybe drop a coupon or like pay the renter's fees for a day plus their paint or whatnot. I can do that in advance and leave like a little, hey, I hope you enjoy paintball, love Mech Tactical or whatever.
Yeah.
And they can get to play a day on the house, as it were. And I don't play the same field all the time, so just as I'm leaving, going out the door, if I've had a good time, I can say, you know what, I'm going to pay for the next family that's going through. You know, but that other idea was really good too, just leave the setup at a field.
The hard part about leaving it at the field is I could probably count on one hand the number of field owners that would know how to tech something like an M17 or a T15, like especially MagFed, if we're talking MagFed. We could talk anything. Like if it was regular, if it's a standard, regular, run-of-the-mill recreational paintball marker, they're going to be fine. MagFed markers are pain in the ass compared to like the mini, where it's like a single screw and the whole thing slides out. Or even better, you go with the EMAC, where it's just like you turn a thing, a half a turn and slides the whole engine out. You know? I really like the idea of fields setting up a way so that I can pay it forward. There's a pizza place down in New York. I think there's like a dozen of them to do this now. Is that you could buy a slice of pizza and then you could pay for another one, and they gave you a post-it note and you stuck it to the wall. And you just like wrote a note or whatever. And then people could take the post-it notes off the wall and they would get a free slice of pizza. No questions asked. And a lot of people who are like down on their luck use it, right? They grab one, they get a piece of pizza or whatever, just, you know, so they don't go hungry. And if there was a way to do that, I think that'd be really awesome, because I think you'd find that it would balance out. I think there'd be more people putting money in than people using. It would also be a really great way for a field owner, you know, maybe the field's out, there's some kids out, maybe some new players out. And we've all seen it, right? We've all seen that new player. I'm not saying a young player, but a new player. I've seen them in their teens do this. Yeah. Is they roll up to the field. They have no concept of the cost. No idea.
Yeah, they used all their paint in the first round.
Right, yeah. And all their money's gone. And maybe, you know, like they've only got $40 on them. Like there's, you know, I was at a field once that actually had like, you could buy it by the case, by the bag of 1,000, right? Or a bag of 500, sorry. Then they opened up those bags and they rebagged them into bags of 100. And I remember seeing this player roll up, you know, 15, 16 years old. Doesn't know a damn thing, which is fine. We've all been there. I remember when I didn't know a damn thing. And that was it. That's all they had. They had enough money to get the renter.
Going and then it was over,
yeah, they had enough money to get the marker, the rental mask, the rental marker, and a bag, like 100 paintballs. And I was like, bro, that's not even going to fill the hopper. I had bought a case. So I was just like, yo, dude, like here's a pod.
I mean, is there any other standard? I mean, it should only be sold by the case, to tell you the truth.
Case or bag. Don't be breaking open bags and doing like 100 round bags. That's just a kick in the teeth. Come on now.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, was quite surprised at how fast you can fire 1,200 first strikes. Who
Yeah,
knew?
dude, you got to learn
Full
to
auto's
to
going
slow
on.
down.
And it happens. It happened to me. A guy that's supposed to understand ammo discipline from a previous occupation. Nope, paintball's fun. You pull the trigger, and when you're out of balls, you just can't play anymore. And for somebody that has absolutely no idea, like you said, that extra bag that's sitting there that we've already paid for, that the field owner can clearly see that this person doesn't quite get it, it might just save their day. Instead of them
Right.
walking away going, paintball's so expensive and it sucks.
And then they never come back, right? And we lose a
Right.
player. Now, that's the other thing. Like, I want to try and dive into that little concept too of like, why are we so obsessed? Not to sound like an elitist, I'm not saying we shouldn't like let people join, but why are paintballers so obsessed with getting people in? It's almost like a cult. It's almost like like the Jehovah's Witness. Like people, like paintballers are just like, you want to play paintball? Like, you know what I mean? And then people are like, no, I'm not interested. And they're like, but are you sure? Have you heard the word? You know what I mean? Like, it's not to insult any Jehovah's Witness. That was just the first people that I could think of that used to knock on my apartment door.
You know what? I got a funny response to this actually. I did my last video there was kind of like a parody for the Angels of Chaos team and their leader Steve. I love the guy. Kind of called him out on his online romance. And you know, his girlfriend was totally in on board with it, but then we were supposed to have an entire cast come out and spoof a bunch of action movies to celebrate Paintball's 40th anniversary. We were gonna make an actual production out of this, and it ended up just being me by myself in the woods. And I said, it's no fun to come out here and play with yourself in the woods. So I could understand why people are trying to get more
I don't know.
people
I find it
involved because
refreshing to play with myself in the woods, but
right.
yeah.
And the more the merrier, you know. I'm just afraid that because of COVID and the die down of activity that we've had, that we're not going to see those 1,000-player games again. And that's what I want. I want a war. I want to get out there and have to dodge walls of paint as the horn goes, you know?
Then you need to hit up a big event like D-Day or the Tippmann Challenge at
Yeah.
Mirabelle. Now, speaking of D-Day,
All for me now.
Guillermo's saying, I'm assuming he's talking about Battle Buddies here, has four free entries donated for D-Day 2022, waiting for young players so they can attend the event free of charge.
Check that out. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, how do I put this without, because I don't, because G-Man, Guillermo's scary, so I don't want to disagree with him. but, I don't know, is waiting for a young player the right move with that? Because I've been to D-Day, and I've played the games of D-Day. Little kids don't seem to enjoy D-Day. It's 1,500 players on a field, and they tend to not
Yeah.
enjoy it, the ones that I've met,
I'd
I've
say
seen.
teenage. Like if I was to put it out
And that
there
could be the thing
and
too, is maybe Guillermo's
teenage.
talking like teenagers. Because when he says young, I'm immediately thinking like 10. Because I feel like if you found like some 17, 18-year-olds who just maybe their families don't have any money, they don't, and maybe they work part-time. Because like I know people who at 18 or 19, when you're supposed to have all the money in the fucking world because you work part-time and you've got no bills and no responsibilities, they were paying the power bill for their house. They were paying the car payment for their mom. Right. It's a real-world thing. So maybe we help out some of these 18, 19-year-olds who their buddies are going out and playing hockey because they can afford it or whatever. And it's just like, man, they want to play paintball. Like, let's throw those people
And you
some
know
stuff.
what? And not only that, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
Do it.
I've been out to the field a couple times now, and I've seen that there are the odd player that'll show up stag or solo, and you can tell that they're looking for a family to belong to, and the
Yeah,
paintball community is a perfect place for them.
they're looking for that. They're looking for friends, right? Like
Yeah.
there's some people that maybe they just didn't make friends in high school. I, on the other hand, was a complete social butterfly. Now, I got in a lot of fights at the hockey team. So we and maybe that's why I fit into paintball so well, because I was an absolute shit disturber in high school. But
It's the beard, baby. It's the beard.
it's the beard. I had a horrible fucking goatee in high school. Like it was like just this.
I shaved a couple days ago, bro, and my wife and dog didn't recognize me.
That's hilarious. My wife's never seen me without facial hair. She doesn't know what I look like without facial hair. 10 years. 10 years. She has no idea. And she never will. So, yeah. So maybe Guillermo's talking about maybe young, maybe he's talking like 15, 16 year olds. Cause immediately my mind just immediately went to like 9 year olds. And I can just remember the 9 year olds who were absolutely fucking terrified at D-Day because they were game starts. And
I have a 10 year old. I have a 10 year old that plays paintball with me along with my 18 year old. It would be an absolute panic as a parent to lose sight of my 10-year-old when there are 40,000 paintballs in the air.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's kind of scary, right?
Be hurt, right? Yeah.
So accidents can happen, right? Like I've tripped in a paintball game and took a ball under the mask. Luckily it hit my jawbone, but like, yeah. I couldn't hear out of my right ear or see out of my right eye for like 10, 15 minutes. It was pretty fucking scary.
I know if there was a problem that a pile of other players would jump on top of her to protect her. I know they would. That's what we do, right?
100%. But you are not there.
Not yes.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's, you lose your kid at the mall and you panic, right? Like it's so.
Probably more. Yeah.
Honestly, yeah. There's probably more dangerous people at the mall than. Actually, I can guarantee you there's more dangerous people at the mall than at paintball. Because, like, man, somebody steps on the line at a paintball field. There ain't nobody around for a couple of acres. You're getting a shit kicking. So it's going to happen. Steve Gator, it brings out your inner confidence. You can be anyone you want on the field, no matter where you come from, what your background you have. It's you and your friends on the field duking it out. It has brought me out of a very dark place in life. And honestly, paintball helped save my life.
That's my boy right there, Steve Gator.
Yeah, so, hey, yeah, paintball is amazing. It's amazing what sports can do for people, and it's amazing how paintball kind of fits this weird little, like, you've tried hockey, you didn't really like it. You tried soccer, you didn't really like it. You tried baseball, you didn't really like it. You went through football, net, didn't really mesh. Like, it's just you try all the generic sports that you're supposed to play in high school. I played rugby. I got the shit kicked out of me in rugby. It was great. We had just enough, in my entire high school of, like, I don't know how many people we had. 1,000 people, 1,000 students, something like that. We had enough people to make a rugby team. Like, we didn't have spares. If one of us got hurt, we had to forfeit the match.
Oh, that's so good.
Right? So, I get what it's like to find that niche sport, and I think that's why so many of us who find paintball are just like, this is my sport, you know?
It's true. You watch these people that go to Comic-Cons, and you can in the Iron Man suits and you go to the Star Trek conventions. Okay, you go to a paintball field on a MAGFed day, you put the suit on, it's a functioning costume. It actually, you can queue with your friends and knock
it's
them
LARPing.
Out with it.
At the end of the day, I don't care what anybody says, half of the time it is a live action role play. 100%. And there's no shame in it because I know guys who do medieval LARPing. Like, and I tried it once and I got scared. Like he hit me with the fucking sword and I was just like, it was like a broomstick wrapped in foam. And he gave me a shield and I was like, okay, cool. Let's try this. And he's actually practicing this. He hit me with it. And it was like, whoop. And I was like, I'm done. Like I've played rugby. I play paintball. I don't give a shit. I was in martial arts for years. This is bullshit. I'm out of here.
But all that energy and just like Steve said, all of that beauty that comes from putting on your kit and playing MAGFed and taking that into account and then taking into account what you said about it could end up on Kijiji, it's worth the risk. For a marker that's ready to go and I'm just sitting around doing nothing when I have multiple other backups, I want somebody else to feel that even once.
And I guess it's a risk. Well, like I said, maybe I'm just turning into a crusty old man. Maybe I've just seen
me too.
I can't go into too many details, but I have interacted with some very, very shady individuals who are no longer in paintball and they took advantage of paintball. So maybe that's my problem. Maybe I'm like a little bit hardened over that. Like I've seen people get taken advantage of, and it sucked. Because I seen it happening, and I was like, guys, this is happening. And everyone is just like, no, it's fine, it's fine. His heart's in the right place. And everybody got burned. So maybe that's it. Maybe I'm just like, I'm like gun shy because of that. So I'm hoping it doesn't end up in Kijiji or, you know, or something like that, and it ends up getting used.
There are some secondary fundraisers that happen in the paintball community. I've noticed too, like the Alley Remembered and Autism Speaks and a couple others.
Great fundraisers.
And it hits home for me because I have one, possibly two autistic children at home, high functioning, but on the spectrum nonetheless. And being a working class guy, especially during these times, and the resources that these autism organizations are able to provide, like the training and the speech therapy and stuff like that, it really helps out. And when we're busy in a pinch, watching the children going to work.
Yeah, and that's why, like, on Monday, there was the IWK charity event. So for those who don't know, the IWK is a children's hospital in Halifax. It is a specialized hospital. We're talking like the kind of hospital that has a helicopter and a pilot on standby at all times kind of thing. Like young child injured in a highway, the helicopter's in the air. And they serve the whole of the Maritimes. So I had a buddy who went to the IWK weekly. He spent way too much of his life in the IWK. So when it comes to that kind of charity, I'm all about it. So when the field's like $25 entry, $25 bag of paint, and the entry goes towards the IWK, and I was just like, here's some money. Also, here's some patches to give away. Also, here's a bunch of stuff from PB Swag Bag and the DEF CON supply drop I don't need. Here, give that away too. Like, I'm just like whipping shit at the field. Like, I'm just, let's do this, right? I'm all for it. So when a field wants to back something like that, I am 100% all for it. I was actually really impressed this past weekend, and this is inspiration for any field owners that ever hear this. Please do this if you can. SNL Paintball, a field out of Nova Scotia. They're just, I forget where they are in Nova Scotia. I think they're near Truro. Anyways, they would normally run it. They would normally run the IWK Paintball for Kids event. That was their event. We would all come from New Brunswick, PEI, Nova Scotia. We would all converge on SNL and play and throw a bunch of money at the field, and we raised a ton of cash for the IWK. It was great. Unfortunately, due to Nova Scotia basically being on fire with COVID right now, which I'm hoping they're going to pull out of soon, they couldn't hold the event. So we had a field in, we actually turned out we had two fields in Moncton area, and a field in PEI. Both all of them stepped up, and they were just like, what if we all ran the event at the same time? Because nobody can travel. And we just send all the money to SNL to like to pull together and give to the IWK. And I was like, that's a great fucking idea. Let's do this. Let's go. We're going.
Bombshell.
I was like, that's an amazing idea. Let's go. And then the field owner in Moncton is just like, it's going to, like I was talking with him, he's like, it's going to rain Sunday. Can you come Monday? I'm like, fuck, yeah, absolutely. Like, that's a stupid fucking question. Of course I'm going to be there Monday. One, it's a holiday. Two, I'm just going to be there. I would have called in sick to work. I wouldn't have cared. I've been like, I can't come to work.
I actually asked Lead Farmer to call in a family emergency for me for his gulag.
Right? You do what you got to do. Hold on. There's some more comments here. Neb Nella. Surprised MagFed hasn't gotten more kids into the game. Seems like a perfect bridge from renter gamer to paintball LARPer. It's because MagFed is fucking expensive. Not shooting the paint. It's the marker, then the mags, then the specialized vest, and just those things there are expensive.
I found with my 10-year-old, she did not have the dexterity to operate the marker properly.
Are their fingers long enough to reach the eject?
Even
like,
with the Tippex and the ambidextrous mag release, she still couldn't quite get it going right.
So there we go. But that's the thing is MagFed, I know once you own MagFed gear, you can buy a bag of paint and play all day. And probably bring back the paint next weekend and play that weekend too. Like odds are, depending on how you play, but mags are expensive. Where you could just go get something like, I don't know. The Azodin K3 is like what? $120, $150 marker. I forget now. And boom, away you go. You know what I mean? Like, it comes with a cheap-ass hopper. I think it does. If it doesn't, buy yourself a cheap-ass hopper. You don't really need anything. Neb saying he guesses he means, like, high school-aged kids. That's because with the high schoolers, I think what it is I think that MagFed, especially, so paintball, really bad. I love how this whole podcast has gone through, like, seven topics in this one episode. This is great.
Awesome.
Absolutely. So paintball is one of those things where paintball's really notoriously bad for echo chambering. Paintballers advertise to paintballers and paintballers talk to paintballers. That's about it. Very rarely do you see paintballers outside of talking to their buddies and being like, yo, you got to come play paintball with me. The outside world isn't exposed to paintball. They're exposed to YouTube videos, which 9 times out of 10 are a fail video. But rarely are they exposed to paintball as we see paintball. And then inside that echo chamber is the MAGFed world. MAGFed, it's MAGFed players talk to MAGFed players. Speedballers talk to speedballers. It's these little echo chambers inside of this big echo chamber that nobody ever hears about. There's a local field here.
I can agree with that.
Right? Unless you go to play paintball, and odds are your first game is usually somebody's birthday or it's a bachelor party 9 times out of 10. Yeah, there's those rare few who just like wander onto a paintball field because they're like, I want to try paintball. But fields rarely pay for advertising that is outside of the paintball world. Like, yeah, you could tell a paintballer on Facebook. You see it all the time. But I follow Fields because I play paintball. But if you don't follow Fields, if you're not a member of the paintball community, you're not going to see 90% of the advertisements. That's why I thought it was such a kick-ass thing that Meg Hill Paintball spent the money for a billboard on the busiest street in Moncton. Huh. That was an amazing idea.
Bing. That was a light bulb going off in my head.
Right?
401 is right there.
Everyone does like 165 on the 401. Like nobody's going to see it except for the truckers that flip the trucks every night. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's, then again, what you got to do is you got to figure out statistically, where's the most likely spot for a truck to go off the 401. And then you put a billboard just at that location, because then when the truck's on its side and it backs traffic up, everyone sits there and has to stare at your billboard.
I believe there is a stretch of highway on the 401 over by PRZ that is notoriously bad for ice in the wintertime.
See, problem solved. There we go.
There you go.
Right? Boom. Problem solved.
Yeah, some of the other work I've been trying to do to make paintball more affordable for people, and I'm not trying to promote in any way, is to find new technology and the cheaper stuff and sort of like dissect it on my YouTube channel to get people in the know-how so they're not afraid of, you know, dropping that coin.
Right.
Specifically with the M17, and I went with that one because all of my videos are backwards compatible with all the markers you find on Kijiji.
Right. Yeah, and the M17 is an affordable MAGFed platform. You know, it really is. Compared to, now, personally, I'm not a fan of the Milsig. I had one. It leaked like a sieve. So I got rid of it, got a 4.68, hated it, got rid of it, went with a TGR from MaxTac. It served me well. And then I got myself a T15, and now that I run the T15. Been through them all. They all had their ups and downs.
Going right back around in that full circle about the T15, back to the Tonka group. And I've said it, I don't know if people have read it, the giveaway aspect is, if I'm going to be buying as many tickets as I can for that draw that he's going to do, and if I get picked, I'm going to say, spin the wheel again, and whoever's, like, you know, and we're going to give it away just like we are with this giveaway that I'm doing on the side. You know, if my name lands, I mean, I have no use for a T15, I'm going to say, forward it, pass it along, you know, give it to somebody that doesn't have one, or wants one really bad, or is just absolutely in love with them. And that's kind of why I'm in the Tonka Tactical group, so I can help people out, I guess.
I'm trying to pick my words very carefully.
I know, it was a little hazy at first, but once the message got together, that it's really just a get together for people to do what I'm doing, I can appreciate that. It's an outlet for me to grow the sport, in a sense, I guess, if it doesn't end up on Kijiji.
I would now, how do
go for it, dude. The skin is really thick.
It's not you, it's the problem. if I were you, let's say I throw my name in the ring and it lands on my name. I own a T15. I'll be perfectly clear with you. My T15 was free. It was a sponsorship deal. I didn't pay for my T15. I still really like my T15 and it works really, really well. My TGR is still, it's not packed away. It's actually just sitting on the other side of my monitor. And I have that ready to go as well. But if my name landed on that T15, I would not keep it. I would not sell it. I would probably give it away. I would probably donate it to a field to then, or to a field, or I would, you know what I mean? Give it to a field and use it as like a raffle for a big charity or something like that, or use it or sell it and use that money to pay for, you know, renters or something. And the reason I say that is, and I understand that this, the Tonka Tactical Group, the idea is that it's supposed to put money back into the sport. I don't know him from a hole in the ground. I've never seen him do anything for the sport. Not saying that he hasn't. I'm not saying that he won't. What I'm saying is I've never witnessed it. So I wouldn't trust anybody within $1,000 because they say they're a good person. They got to prove it to me first. So, because the T15 is an $800 marker before taxes, Canadian. It is an expensive piece of kit.
It's only semi-automatic.
It what?
I thought I just chipped that in there that it's only semi-automatic.
It's only semi-automatic. The full auto trigger is $200 some odd. The T15 is an amazing piece of kit. It is an expensive piece of kit. And I would love to see it end up in the hands of somebody who can use it, or I would love to see it be used in such a way that I can see it immediately benefit the community through a established facility or entity like a field, because I can hold a field accountable. Right?
And these are really good ideas. They really are. And if somebody comes along and has a better idea than me, I literally drop the notion that I know what is going on, and I'm going to follow you now. That's a really good idea. And
which is great. I love to hear that somebody's open-minded. It's just
never ever just butt heads for no reason. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, right. And that's, and I'm not saying, I'm not trying to say that he's not trustworthy or that Tonka Tactical is not trustworthy. It's just that you got to earn my trust. Also, I'm a professional salesman. So I am double on edge anytime somebody makes promises of any kind. I don't care who you are. I've gone like, it doesn't matter if you're selling me on the idea of supporting the sport or you're selling me a car. I am immediately on edge and just like picking apart every word you use. And I'm super, super critical. I'm overly critical.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. That is totally
no, and okay. I don't think there is either. Like
there's so many people that just fly right down to the signature line and just sign.
Absolutely. Right? For example, when I bought my heat pump for my house, I went to the guy and I was like, I know what heat pump I want. I want that one right there. And he goes, oh, he says, you know what? We're sold out of it, but I found one in the warehouse today. And I was like, do not bullshit me. I could have picked anyone off this wall and I know you found one in the warehouse. You know what I mean? Like, so, but yeah, just, so what I'm saying is like, just be careful of, and maybe those people have the best intentions. I know I've been burned by people in paintball who were like, I'm about growing the sport. And then they're just like, yeah, well, this came up and then this came up and then this came up. And it's just like,
So he says the tickets are like $30, and I thought, okay, you know what? I can think of about a million things I've wasted $30 on in my life that I'll never see a dime for, and I'm not going to provide any examples. So if we all pitch in $30 and, I don't know, we'll just pick the worst case scenario, he just takes off to the moon with it, which I don't think is going to happen.
No, I don't think he would, because his face is plastered everywhere. If he were to just try and take the money and run, he'd be hunted down like a dog. Like, I don't expect that to happen. I truly don't expect there to be anything shady. It's just me being very, like, I don't want
to. I've played with him. I've talked to him. I've got his phone number. We've talked. I believe he's going to do this. It's going to happen. Just getting a little antsy because I want it now. Don't we all, right?
Right.
But, right. And, but just the other day, he announced that the share list for this group was going to be put in for a draw for a brand new Tippex. And I'm like, holy crap, I can't even afford a brand new Tippex. Where are you getting that kind of money from?
Right. So, yeah. And so there's a Tippex being given away, which is great. Now, a Tippex is like $250 brand new, which, again, still, I think I would rather see, instead of a pistol being given away, I would feel better if it was, like, how does that help? You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be a better way than just throwing gear into the community. And this kind of rolls back into my very first question of, like, is giving away gear really the best way to hashtag grow the sport or whatever we want to call it? Or is there a better way we can do this? Because I feel like just giving away gear is not going to help.
So my first time ever at PRZ, which was for Op Ardennes back in February of this year, there were some renters that showed up. And they happened to be parked next to me. And, of course, I was full Rambo, as they call it. And I noticed them looking into the back of the truck just back here where I keep my gear when it's game time. And I called them over, and I said, come here, man. Come check this out. Come try it out. And I really urged them to switch for their, I think it was, rental gun. I was going to run with their rental marker and let them try all the MagFed stuff out, but he wouldn't. And I had a feeling that once you get it into their hands, it's hard to get it back out. So
absolutely,
our little echo of MagFed, sure, it'll help that. But the sport in general, I don't know.
Now, and here's the other thing, too, is like, and maybe donating gear can be done in the right way. But is giving gear away to existing experienced paintballers the right way to do it? Or is that just giving cars to car guys, giving guns to gun guys, and you know what I mean? Giving tools to tool guys. They probably would have just got one anyways. Also, Tippexes can be found for dirt fucking cheap on Kijiji. Like, they're everywhere. They're a dime a dozen. They've been out for 10 years. Have they been out for 10 years? They have. Tippexes have been out for almost 10 years. Holy hell.
I know my M series does. That's for sure.
Right, yeah. So
2012, I think. Yeah.
Mike Merlot, what about an amateur league? Grab people off the street and renters and get them a chance to play a casual tournament. Mike, we have something like that here out east. We call street ball, where we pick random teams, but we also make sure that an experienced player, at least one experienced player, is on every team. We have a team here called Hustle. Amazing guys. They taught me a ton of stuff, and I still have so much more to learn. They're actually competing, or they were going to compete in the OPL, which was great because they're going to be the first like maritime team to go compete in Ontario, which is mind blowing. And then we would do that kind of event where it was, you'd have everybody from like brand new, never played before, all the way up to like, these guys are top tier number one player in the province, all on one team. And it was great. And it was really awesome. And it opened up speedball to a lot of people. Made people realize that speedball is not that scary. You know, you can learn how to play. I run a MagFed tournament that we do, not that the teams are predetermined, like you register your own team, but I had players come by and they were like, this was my first time playing paintball. And I'm like, bro, you are in the wrong event, but let's do this.
That's like my coworker. He, conflict resolution. You want to start people doing paintball, pistol dueling. Got two masks. I got two pistols. Meet me around back.
There we go, right? I win the argument.
Right? Yep.
Yeah. So there's, you know, there's ways to do this. There are creative ways to do it. I really think that we need to look at, and as a community, focus more on helping the fields get the players onto the field more, I think is definitely.
Come try Call of Duty in real life.
Right? And that's really how part of it needs to be advertised. There needs to be more advertising. We need to help out the fields. It needs to be a lot more like bring a friend or something like that. But, and I don't know that giving away gear, and I'm not trying to call out you or Tonka, Just you're the most recent ones to be doing it, but this is not something new. This is, you know, people giving away stuff. There's YouTube channels all over the place that, you know, I hit 500 subscribers, I'm giving away this. I hit 1,000 subscribers, I'm giving away that. And
now, I'm not gonna lie, I am kind of on a race to monetization, and that was so that I can have the little bit of extra money that my tiny little YouTube channel will make to leave like a voucher or whatnot on my way out the door when I'm done playing at a field for the day and say, you know, the next little guy that comes through here plays compliments of Mech Tactical or something like that.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea.
It was just the tiny one that I had,
yeah.
You know?
No, monetization through YouTube is like, you might as well just give away your firstborn child. Like, that's how hard it is now.
It is. It's really hard.
I happen to know how much Nightmare PB makes every month off of his, like, what is it, 500,000 or 1,000,000 views a week.
The stats are about 5 cents per ad view or something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty outrageous. And to get there is nearly impossible. They've definitely gone out and made it harder for everybody. But if you can find a way, I think, like vouchers, I'm starting to think vouchers is really the way we need to go about doing this.
You might notice me pushing Valken, the Valken M17 and my affiliation with them. I almost have enough to be able to pay for somebody to play paintball for a day. And that is paintballers.
That's cool.
Helping paintballers through.
Now, yes. Now, I like that. I like the idea of you have an affiliate code. I have one through DEF CON.
I like those guys too, by the way.
Yeah, and so my DEF CON affiliate code basically is to help run the podcast, is basically how much money I make with it. And, you know, that's about it. I don't make a lot of money off of it.
You think we're rolling in dough?
No. There's no money in the affiliate code. It's like, I think I've made enough money to buy like half a case of paint or something like that. It's, you know what I mean? But it's not, I'm not looking to make a ton of money off it. It's basically enough to pay for the services that we're using. Like the system we're using right now to talk on, I have to pay monthly for this service.
It's a very nice setup, by the way. I've seen it for the first time. This is my first podcast. All you had to do was send me a link and we're off to the races.
Right. Exactly. This is a great system. Awesome. Assuming it works when we're done. Because it's still one more step it has to go through, but the affiliate codes I think are a really great way. Like if somebody some day down the road is just like, I need everything brand new, and they use my code and they buy like new headband, new mask, new jersey, new pants, new cleats, new marker, new hopper, new tank, you know what I mean, like if they buy everything, then I might have enough money to pay for a rentals day. You know what I mean?
Like 30 bucks or something, right? It's really not that much money. And I do thank the people that have used my code. I really do. I thank you guys. But I put it out there with the discount to the M17, and sort of people have thought the M17 was a bit of a chop monster, and I helped them overcome that so that they can have a new marker. They can set it up.
Yeah, see, that's one thing.
Back.
I never heard the M17 was chopping paint. It did a ton of other stuff, but I've never heard of an M17 chopping a lot of paint. Usually they just leak.
and to be honest, I've got a CQMF coming my way.
Oh, yeah?
And if I fall in love with that, the M17 might find its way to a paintball field in Ottawa, set up on a permanent fixture to become a machine gun, maybe. I don't know.
That'd be cool. You can put a hopper on it.
We've all seen that it can take it. We've done it.
Right?
We've done it.
You slap a hopper on that sucker, give it its own scuba tank, and away you go. Mike Merlot, to go along with what Ted mentioned, what about getting some more live drones out there for video? If a field owner or a team has a YouTube channel and can help fund someone with video gear and use that to help advertise or even have commentary. I know you've mentioned problems with lack of cell internet Wi-Fi service, though, maybe after the fact commentary or publish the day late videos. Live streaming is definitely a bit of a hiccup, but I think we're now seeing super, super affordable drones hitting the market. Even when like drones were popular, they were still like $2,000.
There must have been three videographers at PRZ Op Conflict in March, and they were doing a phenomenal job. Phenomenal.
100%. And I think that kind of stuff.
Photos and whatnot. I took my C21 patch and I gave it to one of those guys, and I can't even remember who it was. But later on, they had released a video on YouTube, and it exploded. It absolutely exploded.
And that's definitely a way that we can help fields is sharing photos and video and content, but sharing it to friends and family that aren't paintballers, right? Like they're getting it out there and getting that, and that will help encourage to get some, you know, that'll help the field be able to afford some new luxuries and whatnot. Or maybe you can find a way to help out with getting a newer player onto the field because they discovered that. There's ways, there's always ways to it.
Talk about it at work, guys. If you work in a place where there's a lot of people, you'd be like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? I'm going to shoot you. And they'll be like, excuse me? And then you'd be like, let's go play paintball.
Right. I try, but I drive a van alone, and I got tired of talking to myself. And so, and then when I go to bars and restaurants, and I'm like, hey, how's it going? And they're like, hey, man, how's that new cider? I'm like, yeah, cider. How about paintball? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't quite, they don't care. And Marky Mark.
People need to start calling it what it is, and it's a combat sport.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an action sport. It's an aggressive sport. It's a combat sport.
And we try to shoot each other safely, safety. And people pick up on that a lot more than you would say just paintball. Because, I mean, paintball is fun. But when you hear combat or sport, those two words, I find that they ring truer in my brain when I hear them.
Yeah, it's just getting that right word combination to those people. Okay, so we've hit the hour mark, and I think we're going to wrap it up. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep talking, and we're just going to keep going. And I'm expecting a phone call in about 20 minutes, so I do need to actually finish up and get off the podcast. So, folks, we've talked about a lot of stuff. One thing we didn't talk about was the supporters of the show and the sponsors, and I feel really terrible for not doing this earlier in the show, and I hate doing it at the end, but let me just breeze through real friggin' quick, because I didn't get around to getting the new thing done, so I'm going to be super quick about this, but the Maritime Paintball Podcast is sponsored by PB Swag Bag, where I have a code where it's MPP10, you can score 10% off the first bag. DefconPaintballGear.com with the code Maritimes, with an S at the end. You score yourself 10% off a ton of stuff off the website, including their DefCon supply drop. Check out Tier 1 Armament. Great guys. They got all sorts of kick-ass paintball gear, airsoft gear, soft goods. Sometimes coffee is always good. And Impossible Creations, fantastic website that they're doing this phenomenal stuff called SLS printing. Long story short, it is super high-tech 3D printing and printing on demand. So if you go to impossiblecreations.ca and you use the code MARITIME11, you score yourself 11% off anything on the website. And they got some cool shit on there, not just paintball stuff, but like stuff for your house too. So go check that out. The ones that I will definitely take the time to talk about, though, is the Patreon supporters. So big thank you to Matt S., Matt O., Tim B., Scotian, Dr. Rush, Jeffrey Ryan, Alex, and Tony. The real MVPs are the Patreon supporters. So if you're in the position to become a Patreon supporter and you want to be one, then feel free to head on over to patreon.com/Maritime Paintball Podcast and you can become one if you would like. If not, I appreciate you just liking and sharing the podcast, honestly. And of course, big shout out to all the sponsors. So got that out of the way.
Whew. If I could, just one last thing. Thank you to each and every one of you. I'm new to paintball and everybody has made it an awesome experience for me, including you, Brad. Thank you for having me on.
Anytime, man. Anytime.
I love all of you. You guys are amazing. The field owners, the players, I have yet to have a bad experience.
It'll come.
Thank you so much.
But no,
I better not.
So, that's awesome. Thank you for everyone who stuck around, chit-chatting with us, commenting and sharing and liking and all that. And please, feel free to keep commenting or shoot me a message, PM me, whatever your opinion is. If you agree or disagree with anything I've said on this show, I've gone through like 8 topics in the last hour. I know it's kind of a whirlwind, but that's what happens when I start talking and I have somebody to talk to. Things just flow. But yeah, if you like it, didn't like it, let me know. If you have any ideas, if you have any cool ideas, let me know. I don't have many connections, but the handful that I do have are very passionate. So maybe we can try and implement some new style of charity, some new benefit programs of some kind. I'd love to do that. Otherwise, go check out some groups like Battle Buddies, who are doing a really great job already. Guillermo is doing a fantastic job with that. That's it. I'm out of here. Next week, I don't really have anything planned. I'm hoping to get Bud Orr back on the show to talk about the game he had in New York, which was a good time. There was basically all the old dogs, all the legends, all the vets from the world of paintball were on one field at one time. Like, if a hurricane had blown through, it would have been, we would have lost like all of the paintball history right then and there.
They're too tough to.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. They would have just held onto a tree and be like, this is bullshit. Like,
they're
still trying to play, like pulling themselves through. But yeah, I wanted to chat with Bud Orr, try to get Tom Kay on the show as well. I kind of want to talk to Tom about his DB Cooper endeavors, which is kind of cool. So if I can make that happen, I will. Otherwise, I don't know who I'm going to have on next week. We'll figure something out. But that's it. I'm out of here. Ryan, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, buddy. It was great.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And
anytime, man.
I'll reach out next time I'm in a pinch. I'll get you back on. We'll bring you in from the mobile office. And that's it. We're out of here. So thank you so much for everyone who stuck around. We're out of here. Until next week, cheers.